Tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of getting through times when you are rejected as giving the gospel and bringing forth the words of the Lord. And we see that in the Apostle Paul's life a lot. And these instances we'll look at in the book of Acts tonight have to do with that. And it's been so helpful for me to go through some of these things again and again through our pilgrimage with the Lord, because it doesn't mean that you're bad if you've been rejected. It means many times you're doing the right thing in the Lord, and people just don't want to hear that. And there are people like that. Of course, there's those gems that jump on board with Jesus, but then there's those that don't. So we need to know about both situations, be prepared for those situations, know what to do. We're going to look at some of those things tonight. So we're in the book of Acts and chapter 13. At the end of chapter 13, I had a little crisis with my contact lens. I couldn't see through it anymore. So it's probably because I went in the ocean with it. Probably not a good idea. I don't think I'll do that again. So Sherry had to go find me some glasses so I could see my notes tonight. So here I am. Well, and I got little lights too. That's what this is. These are not bug ears. Here, these are little lights that help me see. Okay, well, let's get into the book of Acts and chapter 13. At the end of the chapter, we see that the word of the Lord is published in such a way. And usually when that happens, when the word of the Lord gets published beautifully and wonderfully, and there's things that God's doing and blessing, there's going to be some opposition. And so that's what we see here tonight. Now it says the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, not just the city, but all the region. The word of the Lord was being just published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Oh, they just looked for the ladies that were real influential in the area. And you know, the women can be quite powerful, always have been. And you know, the words of the women. And so they stirred up those devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. Now this is chapter 13, verse 50. I'm sorry, did I not give you the verse? I'm sorry. Verse 50 of chapter 13 of the book of Acts. And so the Jewish people that were against the Apostle Paul and against the gospel going out, they stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and they began to raise persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So really getting after them, and expelled them out of their coasts. And so moving them away from their borders, from having influence and so forth. And it says in verse 51, and this is the first thing we're going to look at tonight, and this is something that God might call you to do when you're being pushed out. It says, they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came to Iconium. So they went on to the next city. Now this city was 45 miles southeast of Antioch, where they were. And this is in central Turkey. Central Turkey. These cities are all very close together. And so they were at Antioch, and now they go to Iconium. But this idea of shaking off the dust, where did they get that idea? Well, it's very clearly given to us by Jesus himself. So sometimes the Lord might call you to just shake off the dust and you move on, kind of thing. And I always picture that, you know, as they're leaving town and they just go... And on they go. And it's kind of like dramatic way of saying, you know what, we gave you guys the good old American try or good old Israeli try, and you didn't want having to do with it. So later days, we're down the road. And that's what happened here. And so sometimes you have to go around the bozos to get to the beauties. That's the way I always put it. And there it is. Now let's take a look at what Jesus had to say about this subject Now let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 11. So we go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 11. Now this is real important for your mental health and also for your health in the Lord, knowing that you will suffer persecution. And when that comes, not to take it the wrong way, like you've been a clown, you've been terrible, you've been awful, you've been obnoxious and pushy, and therefore you need to be set down for a while and told to shut up. You know, it's not always that. Now, it might be that. You have to ask yourself, am I obnoxious? And am I terrible? Am I pushy? You have to ask yourself that. But if you're just trying to do the will of God, and you've done it in a meek and with a meek heart, a humble heart before the Lord, and just shared the goodness of God, and you're getting flack for it, hey, that is the Christian norm. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, and even from family members sometimes. Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Father against son and mother against daughter, it happens. And maybe some of you have had households that have been divided. And that is something that happens. And so let's read here in Matthew chapter 10 about this sending out. Now Jesus got the disciples together, 70 of them, and sent them out two by two to witness to different cities. And they sent them forth. And it says here in verse 11, he gives them instruction. And unto whatsoever city or town that you enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide, and there abide till you go away from there, from thence. And when you are come into a house, salute it. So you go into a house, you knock on a door, you go into the house, you salute it. You say, greet it. You greet the people. Hello, I've come in the name of the Lord. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. This is a very important line in the Bible. You need to learn how to let your peace return to you if someone doesn't receive your witness. And you can become very upset because you've been despised and rejected, especially of a family member. I mean, you can really, really get uptight. I remember when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit and I spoke with tongues, and I came home and told my mother, and my mother was a strong, at that time, Presbyterian, but not really knowing the Lord very close. And so she began to yell at me because I had met the Lord in such a dynamic way, and she didn't understand it, and she was afraid of it, and she started yelling at me. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, give place to your mother. And so I didn't scream back because God was filling me with his love. And praise the Lord, the end of that story is that my mother came around and saw that God was really upon me not long after that. But that initial thing was really hard on me. I said, man, have I done something to hurt my mother? I'm just really doing bad things here to speak in tongues. And it's really, really upset my mom. And so I had to get over that and just say, you know, I need to let my peace return to me, you know, to get my peace back. Because the world can be very abrasive, and those in the world can make you feel like, you know, you're out in left field or something, to just love the Lord and accept his gifts, to accept his beautiful spirit. And that feeling can be overwhelming if there's a person that's really important in your life, your brother, your sister, your dad, your mom. And so the Lord says here, look, if you bring the peace of Jesus to a person and they reject you, and no matter what they do, yell at you, scream at you, maybe kick you in the shin, whatever they do, you need to let your peace return to you. You don't want to pine away with no peace in your life because of the way people have treated you. You need to look to Jesus. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh, and he certainly does do that. Oh, you know, I was even 40 years old. I remember I was in a park praying for the church, and I was 40 years old, and I just looked up one day had tears coming down my cheeks, and I said, Father, you're the only Father I got. That you're all I have, and I need you so badly. And the Father in heaven, he heard that, and he blessed me, and he gave me peace. Let your peace return to you. I think this is the first lesson that we want to get from the time of rejection, because it is human to just want to go home, get in fetal position on your bed, like Elijah did under the juniper tree. Just get in fetal position under your bed. And Elijah went to sleep out there just totally bummed because Ahab and Jezebel rejected him. But you know, we need to just let the Lord minister to us. The Lord sent an angel to Elijah, brought him something to eat to strengthen him, and got him up on his feet to go on to the mountain of God and hear from the Lord directly. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to hear from him directly and receive all your strokes from him, to receive all of your reason for living from him. And he wants to become your father and your mother. He's with us like a nursing mother. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 1:7 about the Apostle Paul with the church, that he was among them as a nursing mother. But, you know, that's the Spirit of the Lord that was in him. And God is just so important to us. And so let your peace return to you. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And you just go on. And then it goes here in verse 14. Whosoever shall not receive you or hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. So that is where the Apostle Paul got that. It's from Jesus. This is the instruction of Jesus Christ. You just shake off the dust of your feet. And verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for that land of that more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Whoa. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah were pretty bad. And Jesus says here, be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for that city that rejects you and offends you. Because the scripture actually says, if you offend one of my little ones, it'd be better if a millstone was tied around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. That would be better for you than what's going to happen to you if you offend one of the little ones of God. And that's who you are. And that's who I am. We are the children of the living God. And he's watching over us as a very good hovering father. And as people offend you and push at you and put you down for just trying to simply share the love of Jesus, man, that ticks the Lord off. And revenge's mind says, the Lord, I will repay. And he takes care of business. Now, I don't want to think about my mom and I hope you're not taking her with us through this whole study, because she became a Christian and a lovely Christian, and she became very close to my wife. They became like Ruth and Naomi in the Bible. That's what they did. And so, very beautiful ending to that story. But this, and nevertheless, goes on. There might be a time in your life when you just need to shake off the dust. Let your peace return to you and shake off the dust and move on and receive God's peace. Because if you tie yourself into somebody that wants to reject Christ and let them manipulate you and make you feel bad and put you in a corner and shut you up and all that stuff, you're going to be one miserable character and you'll never have any peace. But if you just go, hey, I tried my best here. The Bible says to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within your power. If there's somebody out there that's even been close to you, but everything in their power is to not live peaceably with you, but make you feel miserable, you need to let your peace return to you and shake off the dust and move on. And you can forgive them, but forgive them from a distance, because they're just stuck in that mood and they don't want to get out of that mood and they're just being awful to you. Move on. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Pray for them, but steer clear of them. I love that thing in that The Fiddler on the Roof is a movie about the Jewish people. But it says, Rabbi, this one guy said, Rabbi, do you have a blessing for the Tsar? The Tsar was persecuting the Jewish people in Russia. He said, yes, I do. He says, Lord, bless the Tsar, but keep him far, far from us. Shake off the dust and move down the street, buddy. So there it is. Okay, well, good, good, good. All right, now we got that. Now, let's take a look at the another scripture in Romans on this subject. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, 17. And it says this, I beseech you, brothers, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And what does it say to do? Avoid them. It's kind of shake off your dust idea again. Just avoid them. If you know that they're just going to bring trouble and just be, you know, causing divisions among brothers and getting, you know, little coffee clutches together and backbiting people and stuff, man, the thing to do is to avoid them. Just don't go. Just go the other way. Pray for God to bring you good Christian friends that are really in favor of the church and in favor of being together in the love of God. And so this is the instruction. And he says, why? He says, for they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They're just after their own interests. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, this has happened through the years, even at our church. It happens in every church, I think. We've been here now for 30-some years. I've lost track now. I think it's 34 years. 1978, we started. But there'll come somebody, and they get their nose out of shape because they wanted to be more powerful than they've become or whatever. This happens, and they get a little group, and they start backbiting the leadership of the church, and they start being real difficult. And I've had groups like this come through the church all these years, many times. And so the word is just, you know, they're causing divisions, they're upsetting people, they're getting people to believe lies, actually, sometimes, and going about with fair speeches. It says, with good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of just the simple ones that just don't know what's going on, and they just go along with them, and pretty soon you've got a big split or argument or whatever. And it's so sad to see, and it's hard to understand many times. So the Lord has shown us through the years to just not get into it, stay away from the drama. As C.S. Spurgeon said in one of his articles, a lesson to his students, he says, you know what? Sometimes you just got to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye. You just say, okay, they're going to do this. They're going to get all upset and hot under the collar, but I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to let the Lord take care of it. Because, you know, the Bible says, actually, that the Lord will fight for you. All you need to do is stand still. That's in Exodus about Pharaoh coming after Moses. And that really works. This one time, a guy in the church got a whole bunch of people together, and they wrote a letter about me. and said, I used the Antichrist scriptures in Jeremiah to describe me, that I was a bad shepherd, you know. And it was just heartbreaking. And I got so hurt, but then I got angry. And he sent this letter to everybody in the church, because we had a directory. And he sent the letter to everybody in the church about my stinkingness. And so, man, I was going to blast him on Sunday morning. I was going to get up here and just blast this guy, you know, from the pulpit. And the Lord said, don't do that. He said, leave this to me. Just leave this to me. And one of the elders of the church went down to Costa Mesa, and you got a pastor down there called Romaine. Romaine used to be a Marine drill instructor. Oh, man, you don't mess with Romaine. But they went and they told Romaine the whole story. You know, these guys are coming against Mark, my pastor. And he leaned back in his chair and started laughing. He just laughed and laughed. He says, God's going to smite those guys. And sure enough, he did. Man, it wasn't before long that I looked for my enemies and I couldn't find them, just like it says in Psalm 34, because God just removed them. They're just gone. And so God took care of it. And I didn't really have to do anything. And I just kept preaching the word. And, you know, I really don't know of any of these things going on in our church right now. So I can feel free to preach all these things now. If there was something going on, then you know, I might be, you know, talking to a group that, you know, anyway, that's all dumb. But anyway, I'm not talking to anybody right now. This isn't happening right now, but I'm just getting to scriptures about it, right? So, yeah, you're just supposed to avoid them. Leave it to the Lord, because God sees it. He sees that they're serving their own bellies. They just want to promote their own agenda. And they get nowhere with that, because the Lord is the mighty one that rules over his church. He's the head of the church. And so there it is. Well, let's go back now to Acts, and we want to get some more lessons about this. So we go back to the book of Acts, and chapter 13 is where we were. And there's one more verse left there that's a really great verse. So Acts 13 and verse 52 says this, and the disciples were filled with joy. Isn't that beautiful? These disciples that were beginning to receive this kind of persecution, they were filled with joy. Why is that? Because Jesus said, when they persecute you, as they did your fathers did the prophets, he said, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And when the disciples were first beaten, the Bible says they went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Yeah. And so the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. It didn't stop them from the work of the Lord. It did not stop them from the work of the Lord. And we see that they were suffering, because we'll get to that, not tonight, but in chapter 14, verse 22, well, let's just look at chapter 14 and verse 22 just for a second. It says there, as Paul and Barnabas came back to Iconium and Lystra and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. They came back to encourage them that even though they were having much trials and much offenses coming against them, that this is ordained of God, that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God, because we're following the footsteps of our Savior. And what did they do to him? They killed him, man, and they beat him, and they treated him illy and made fun of him and mocked him and spit on him and slugged him. They actually put a covering over his eyes. And you know, this is a part of his suffering that we sometimes don't think about, but he had a covering over his eyes. And you know, when you see a football quarterback hit on the gridiron from the blind side, that's the worst hit, because he wasn't ready for it. He's going up to throw the ball. He's got his eyes on the receiver, and some big tank, 300-pound tank, hits him from his blind side. Didn't even see him. And you see his head just snap because he wasn't ready. He wasn't bracing himself. And that, they lay there on the grass for a long time because they were really hurt. Well, this is what they did with Jesus. They put a covering over his eyes, and the Roman soldiers began to slug him with their fists and said to us, "Prophesy, thou Christ, who it is that hits you, if you're the Christ." You know, thinking that he could knew who it was that's hitting him, even though he couldn't see him. And they would blindside him. He didn't even know where the next punch was coming from. And he couldn't brace himself in the right way. We have natural reactions that help us brace when, you know, when something's coming. But Jesus couldn't brace himself. And so this was part of his suffering. So that is the kind of thing that comes our way. Sometimes we're just blindsided by these things. Why did that person say this about me? You have no idea. What, you know, and your mouth hits the floor. You go, what's going on? But it's just a part of what we're to expect and see really in the Apostle Paul and the others. And so they did suffer, but in spite of all that, they were filled with joy. Verse 52, we want to go back to verse 52 of Acts 13, and with the Holy Ghost. You know, the most impressive thing that I've seen in our modern day concerning this subject is the saints in Sudan. We went to a church suffering conference at Calvary Costa Mesa a while back, and there were fresh refugees from Sudan, where the North had attacked the South, and they were killing Christians. And this was a man that was from a group of Christians, and they were so filled with the joy of the Lord, I could not believe it. And they started telling their testimonies about how troops would come through their villages and kill people and take the women and mistreat them, and that after they came and left, they would gather together in the name of Jesus and begin to worship him and to just have joyfulness in the Lord that God has taken some people home to heaven and that God was protecting them and taking care of them. And they just were amazing. And I heard another testimony from in the same area at the same time. This brother, his name's Gary, and he would go to the Sudan often to minister to the people there. And he was in a Jeep on a road, and he saw a bunch of natives of Sudan, and they were gathered together against a tree, and they had nothing. They were running from those bad guys, and they just had nothing, but they were gathered together singing at the top of their lungs to the Lord Jesus with such great joy because it was Christmas and they were celebrating the birth of Jesus. And it just touched and moved his heart. And I knew what he was saying when I saw the face of that Ethiopian guy talking from the stage at Calvary Costa Mesa that one day. You know, and this is what we're reading about right here. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, even though they were under this suffering. Now let's go on to chapter 14 and verse 1, and we'll get some more lessons about this now. It says, "It came to pass in Iconium." Now again, this is 45 miles southeast of Antioch, pretty close, but they went to this other city. Now this city was actually at the foot of Mount Taurus. And actually this very city was largely contributed to the consolidation of the Turkish Empire. Now for those of you who don't know about the Turkish Empire, it came together in the later days. This is way later than the times we're reading. And they were the ones that conquered Israel. and that God used the British Empire, England, to conquer them. And England was the ruler over Israel until the time that Israel became a nation in 1948, during the time of our president, Harry Truman. And that was Bible prophecy being fulfilled. But this very city actually was instrumental in bringing together the Turkish Empire that conquered Israel. And so, kind of a historic place. And it says that they came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. That's Barnabas and Paul. And they spoke. And a great multitude. Oh, man. Whenever there's opposition from the enemy, you know God's going to do something really good. And Sherry and I've, and I know a lot of other Christians that have walked with the Lord a long time, you become to know that if there's an event coming up and things start going south. I remember one time 4 checks bounced. I couldn't believe it. 4 checks bounced from our bank account. And I am such a straight arrow guy, I would never let that happen. Just before a huge event in the Lord. And I just knew it was the enemy just giving us trouble. And you can just bank on it. You can bank on it. But you know what? He never wins. He never wins. So you can just say, this is going to be a great time in the Lord tonight. Because we're really getting hit right now. That's the way you got to look at it. You know, in the early days of your walk with the Lord, you might not even come to church because you're on the way to church, you've gotten the biggest fight you've ever been in with your wife in the car. And so you pull into the parking lot, you just say, I'm not going to church. And you go home and you watch the Rams game instead. But after a while, you learned, man, that was the enemy. And you just have to rebuke that stuff in the name of Jesus and say, you know what? This is going to be a great day at church because I'm really getting a lot of baloney salami right now from the enemy. Amen? That's right. That's right. You just keep going. And that's what they did. That's what they did. And so, yeah. So they spoke and a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks or Gentiles, non-Jewish people, started getting saved like mad. They believed. But here we go again. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, stirred them up, and made their minds evil affected against the brothers. Now, the NIV translation says they poisoned their minds. There are people, and actually, and I love the Lord of the Rings because there's a guy in there who is actually called Worm Tongue. Worm Tongue. Now, you never ever want to be a Worm Tongue, and we want to pray against that. But there are people that will just evilly affect you or want to poison you. About the ministry, about things, about good men of God in the ministry. And that is bad news every time. And it's the kind of thing that starts little falderals in churches because there's people that want to poison other people. Pastor Chuck once said this. It kind of surprised me, but I thought, man, it's true, you know, that he would go from church to church in his early ministry, looking for churches he might pastor or be the head of to lead the church. And he said he always looked for among the elders of the church and the people if they had a spirit of poison among them, that they were just biting each other with their tongues and just, you know, strifeful. And he says he would never take that church. Bye. Shake off the dust and move on, man. Because there are places that get infected with this, where people are just evilly affecting other people and poisoning people about others. And this is no good. Absolutely no good. I've heard so many condemnations against Hillsong, which is a musical group from Australia. And Sherry and I This is the first time we've done this in a long time. We went to the show last night and we saw Sully. We highly recommend to see Sully. It's the true story of the guy that landed the plane safely in the whatever river it is, Columbia River, the Hudson River. And Tom Hanks is the star. He is such a great actor. But this is the true story, and it is so well done. Well done. It was directed by the famous guy that used to go, Clint Eastwood. It was directed by Clint Eastwood, and he did such a great job. So we saw that movie, and we're just blasting stuff. Great. I mean, go see it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. And but then we went outside, and we saw on the billboard Hillsong. I go, Hillsong? That's the Christian group that sings songs about Jesus. And so we looked at it, and it says it's playing right now. So for the first time, as long as I can remember, we went and saw a double feature. We just paid the 10 bucks to, at Triangle Square, you can get in for 10 bucks on Tuesday night. That's for two people. It's $5 a piece on Tuesday night to see the first run movies. So just to let you know where you should go, Triangle Square. So we turned around and went back in and saw Hillsong. It was fabulous. It was fabulous. And you get right into the lives of the different singers in Hillsong, their testimonies, how much money they don't make. They live in apartments, not homes. You know, everybody thinks, you know, because they're rock stars, really, if you want to come down to it. They were at the Forum in L.A. But yeah, everybody thinks, well, they're rich, rolling in the dough guys. They're not. And their lives are simple, and they just want to humbly follow Jesus. And the head singer in the group, he always searches the scriptures to see whether a song is totally biblical, totally glorifying the Lord before they actually do it. They're the people that sing Oceans. Everybody loves that song. And can I try to sing that one? No, I don't think so. I need a girl up here that can really sing good. Oceans is such a great song. But it shows about their ministry in Manila and around the world, and how they're feeding the poor, taking care of the weak, and yet they just have this musical gift, and they're just out there singing about it. And, you know, I hate it when people get down on people like that. You know what I'm saying? All the stuff that's wrong with Hillsong. Give me a break, man. These guys love the Lord, and they just want to sing for Jesus. And we should just enjoy that. Just enjoy that. Sometimes I think people just get jealous or something. But anyway, it was a blessing. We do not want an evil effect or poison other people about anybody. No. No. We should lift people up. Other ministries, we need to lift them up and hold their hands and move out to help in any way we can. So there it is. Now, these people begin to get under persecution, and they begin to come after Paul now in a heavy way, and Barnabas. But you know what? They weren't hirelings. A hireling, as soon as there's trouble, as soon as the devil comes in, they run. But somebody that loves the Lord and wants to do his will hang out for the sake of the body of Christ and stay. And this is wonderful. And they did not move on until the Lord gave them the okay when their lives were threatened. But here in verse 3 it says, for a long time, therefore, they stayed, and they spoke boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And so Paul and Barnabas said, you know what, we're going to stay with these people that are having this persecution and stay as long as we can, even though we're being persecuted here, because there were as many people that were receiving from the Lord that were not receiving from the Lord. Now, in this other case, we'll shake off the dust. It's because you're just confronting the person that will not receive from the Lord. So you shake off the dust, you go on, you let your peace return to you. But man, if it's time to stick up for the body of Christ, you stay. Stay, hey, just a little bit longer. Have you ever heard that song? Anyway, so they stayed there. They stayed there. And they just put up with the gunk. And they shared the love of Jesus with these people. They're brand new Christians. They've never seen any of this before. And they needed a shepherd. And so this is a time when Paul and Barnabas were good shepherds like Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with us every inch of the way. And so this poison thing would be dispelled by ignoring those that are doing it and staying and boldly speaking the word of the Lord. They didn't try to get back. Revengeous mind says, the Lord, I will repay you. Leave it alone. But you just keep doing your job. And this is what God has showed us again and again. You know, when it really gets tough around here, and I just really feel that things are going south and all those things, you know what I like to do is just stand down there after service and wait for somebody I can minister to, somebody that needs me, because there are people that just don't want to talk to me, they're upset with me, but you know, there's always someone that needs me. And it is such a blessing to just get in the groove where Jesus is. Because Jesus wants to minister to people, not tear people down. And you just begin to minister and to share boldly the Lord and give testimony unto the word of His grace. And that is where the victory is every time. And this is a great blessing. And I have a scripture in my notes that I don't know why it's there. But we probably should turn to it. I hate to skip it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and find out what's there. This will be a surprise for all of us. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3. Yes. Okay, here we are. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And that is the truth of it. All men and women have not faith, or don't really know the faith you know and the faith I know. And so they're going to be unreasonable and wicked to you. And this is something we see. But this is just a confirmation of how they react to that. But the Lord is faithful, who establish you and keep you from evil, so you don't fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so pray for us, he says, in verse 1 there, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified as it is with you. That's the way we respond to this kind of thing, as God just asks us to go on with our ministries. Okay, well, let's go now then to a verse, back to 14, Acts 14, verse 3, and we want to finish with this thought. So we see that that's what they did. They boldly spoke the word of the Lord. They gave testimony to His grace. And stayed a long time, continued doing a great work of God. Now, I want to end tonight with Nehemiah chapter 6, the first four verses, because this example here in the Bible just gives all this wings to fly. And so we go to Nehemiah chapter 6 and the first four verses. Now, what we have in Nehemiah chapter 6 is that God has called Nehemiah to build the wall of Jerusalem. It was broken down by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And so it's time to build it up. And God has brought Nehemiah into the land to build up the wall of Jerusalem. Well, there's some wicked people out there, and one of them's name is Sanballat. This is a great name if you're ever going to do a movie for a bad guy. Sanballat. Isn't that a good bad guy name? What's your name? Sanballat. And I think San, like Satan, and Balat always reminds me of bat. So it's like Satan with a bat. And it says that Sanballat, verse 2 of chapter 6 of Nehemiah, and Gershom sent unto Nehemiah, who's busy building the wall of Jerusalem, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of, oh no. I mean, what a name for a place. Would you like to go there and meet with your enemy? The plain of, oh no. No, this is, oh no, don't you go there. But they thought to do me mischief. And, you know, this kind of thing might happen to you, where the enemy stirs up someone to get you to try to go somewhere that you shouldn't be going. And they, a lot of times, want to talk to you so they can just persuade you and manipulate you, and they're seeking rather to do you harm. They wanted to stop the work on the wall. So they wanted the head dude, Nehemiah, to come to the plain of Ono so that they could do him mischief. Well, the Holy Spirit let Nehemiah know that in his heart. So how did he respond? And this might be a way that you ought to respond when someone is inviting you to the plain of, oh no, don't you go there. He says, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. This is the trick. Paul knew that he needed to proceed with the work. I am not going to let the work stop to go off on some wild goose chase into some big drama that will hurt the work. So he says, I am doing a great work. And you know, I want to encourage you with this. The smallest thing that you do in the name of Jesus Christ is a great work. In fact, Jesus put it this way, if you even give a cup of water, just a cup of water, to another disciple, Jesus said, truly, you shall not, how's it go? Truly, you shall not be kept from your reward. That you actually get a reward for just giving somebody a drink of water. So actually, we keep bottles of water in my office, so I can do that, you know, and just give water to people. But, you know, that's how refined and blessed the great work that you're doing is. Just a little means so much to the Lord in His name, that you're busy trying to help people, trying to go around and do good works like Jesus did, and skipping over all this other garbage we've been talking about. And so he says, you know what? I am doing a great work here so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why should that happen? Why should the work of God cease while I leave it and come down to you? And I'd like to add there, you bozo. But, of course, it's not there, so I can't add that, right? You don't add to the Word of God. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. You know, the devil won't let you alone sometimes. Try to make you feel guilty. You need to go talk to this guy. I know he's a rotten scoundrel, but you know what? You know, he might just receive your tender heart. Go down there and just let him beat you up. I don't think so. I don't think so. They came four times. And I answered them after the same manner. I am not coming down. I am not going to stop the work of God. Why should the work cease while I come down to you and spin my wheels and get into all kinds of strifeful drama over this whole scene? And so that's really our part, isn't it? It is to avoid that kind of thing, like we had in Romans 16. It is to shake off the dust and let our peace return to us and just stay about what God wants us to do. Amen? Very, very good. All right, let's pray. Yeah, let's pray. Yes. Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we come to these hard parts sometimes in the Bible, but it's good. It's all good. And Lord, we can so identify, Lord, in our lives with different ones and different situations. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, your Holy Spirit would apply this to each one of us. Oh, Lord, apply this awesome word to each one of our hearts, our life experience, and on how to deal with these things, Father. And Lord, we pray that your love would increase and abound more and more in our hearts, Lord, and that we'd be flowing together in your peace and not in any bitterness or revenge situations. Oh, God, protect us. Lord, we are as sheep among wolves. And Lord, you protect the sheep because you're the good. You're the good shepherd. And you will never leave us nor forsake us. So teach us, Lord, through these words, through the study tonight. And Lord, in all the things that we get to just dive into the word and swim around in. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for your great love wherewith you have loved us. So Father, we give it all back up to you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.